Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's Low Odor Spray Paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum Spray Paints, now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, Martin Sharp, the Fit for Business, Fit for Life coach here, and I hope you're going to enjoy this next amazing episode of Road to Rediscovery by the amazing Aubrey Johnson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the Road to Rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling. Now, as you know, you can hear this show anywhere you get your podcasts. We are known and held on so many different platforms throughout the world. I mean, globally. There are some platforms I've never even heard of that we're on. If you happen to listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we kindly invite you to leave a rate and review. And if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we still want to hear your feedback. After all, feedback is a gift. Please shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. And let us know your thoughts. We are always, always truly grateful for your listenership, and we'll give you a shout out in a future episode. All right. Now, on with the show, on to my special guest, and let me give you just a little bit of background here of this extraordinary individual. 4 years after attending university, graduating with an electrical engineering degree, and landing a great job that sent him all over the world in all different kinds of countries, my special guest still felt unfulfilled, perhaps feeling that there has to be a deeper purpose, but not knowing what that was. He would often have spinning sprees trying to fill that void. Then, while working in Japan, he was introduced to two books that opened a new world and completely changed the course and direction of his life, embarking on a journey of entrepreneurship. Today, he set up businesses and a curriculum of courses and helps people become more financially educated. And who says they don't need it? They are wrong. We all need financial awareness and education. He's also built community through his Facebook group, Cashflow Club Ireland, with over 3,000 members. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mr. Carl Davison to the show. Carl, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. Awesome, Aubrey. Wow, it is an absolute honor and an absolute privilege to be on your podcast as well, The Road to Rediscovery. Wow, it's an incredible name and it's an incredible podcast. You have had amazing people on the podcast as well. So I'm so grateful to be on this podcast. I'm so blessed and ready to give a lot of value to our listeners and our viewers as well. I'm coming here from you, from Ireland. It's cold now. That's why I have on my hoodie. And it's quite cold. So, you know, let's heat things up a little bit, Aubrey, huh?
Oh, yes. You know what? I am up for that challenge. Let's definitely heat things up with some incredible conversation, some incredible insights by yourself. We are equally thrilled to have you on the show, Carl. And Carl, I just want to kind of set the playing field for the audience by letting them know that, you know, we're not just hosting guests here, but we are co-authors of an amazing book about overcoming adversity. There it is, right there, for sure, right?
Yeah, I'm rereading it at the moment, and you know, I always go back to books that have such a impact in my life. I mean, you know, one of those books that had a massive impact in my life.
Yes.
So I will reread that, because every single year, when you go back to a book, you're better. You're more aware. Life has hit you. You've overcome obstacles. You've changed direction. You follow the road. You follow the journey. And, you know, when I reread this book, I was like, oh, okay. A lot of things. I reached out to so many people already. A lot of the co-authors. I was like, wow, that chapter really hit me this time. Because, you know, for example, I was talking to Michael Claiborne there recently. And, you know, he lost his mother. And his chapter was about his mother. And I lost a father-in-law this year. And that really hit me. You know, I was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, and then there was another one. I took up a martial art this year. It's an Israeli defense martial art. And one of the authors, Master Tessa Gordon. Yeah, I was just chatting to her.
Tessa Gordon,
She was in Taekwondo and all. And I was like, whoa. Like, so it's so interesting when you reread things and when you go back and you realize then the dots align. That's a Steve Jobs quote right there. When you look back, the dots align. So, yeah, happy to be on here. Happy to, you know, give the book a big shout out as well, because it was this time last year that we got it in our hands. So, you know, it's exciting. It's a year on.
Oh, certainly, certainly. It's a year on. And you know what? Even though it's a year on, Carl, and I hope you would agree, it's timeless. Due to the simple fact that we're talking about life, we're talking about overcoming adversity, and that's ongoing for all generations, right? And in this show, in this conversation, we're going to talk about your journey, your adversities, right? So in the books I referred to in your introduction, we're definitely going to unpack that a little bit. But what I wanted us to first talk about, if we can, Carl, is from engineering to financial advisor and entrepreneur. That's quite a leap, man. And so can you take us back to your early days as an engineer? I mean, did you think something like this would ever happen? I mean, or did you resign yourself to being an engineer? After all, that's what you went to university for, right?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. And I think my entrepreneurial kind of mindset started when I was quite young. I didn't really understand what an entrepreneur was. I didn't really understand business or entrepreneurship at such a young age. I mean, I just did that, what little kids would do, you know, sell their little toys I think in America they call them yard sales. In Ireland they're called jumbo sales. So I would have like a bunch of toys outside my house and I would just sell them. And, you know, then I was like a paper boy around my local estate. Mm-hmm. And I would get newspapers and I would give them out, you know, for £5 back then, £5.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always kind of was like, oh, let's try and get some money. Let's try and, you know, work to, you know, get up money and you know, that way I can spend on things that I want. And for me, when I went into the engineering side, when I grew up, I like maths and I like physics and engineering in school, in secondary school or high school, as in the equivalent in America. And for me, I just kind of gravitated toward engineering. I kind of had a bit of a logical mind and, you know, I liked the problem solving and I said, okay. But it was funny, actually. I was only actually thinking about this last night, believe it or not. I was thinking about why I chose the course that I chose and why I chose the field, electrical engineering. And the only reason why I chose it was because they were the highest paid engineers at the time. You know?
Oh, so I see. Yeah.
All right. You know, why not? You know, I like maths, or math as they call it in America. I like maths. I like physics. I like engineering. That's like all electrical. So, you know, why not? And that was the road I went on. That was the road that I took. That was the journey I took. And I got a degree within 3 years. But then I remember sitting in the canteen and just thinking, is this it now? Is this it? Do I have to now be in a job? There's nothing wrong with being in a job, but it's just not for me. But do I have to be in a job for 50 odd years until I retire to really kind of live my life? And that to me kind of hit me. That struck me. And, you know, even though I enjoyed engineering and I enjoyed working on some of the most advanced semiconductor machines on the planet, going to different, you know, worlds and, well, not different worlds, but different countries, which might as well have been different worlds for me at 20, 20 years of age and 21 and 22. Like, different countries and seeing different cultures, like, that was amazing. But there was something missing. And that's when, you know, the books really, really opened up my mind. And I never really read books, but it was a girl online who turned out to be my wife, you know? That's another story. That's another story, Aubrey. Introduced me to books. So then the road changed. Then the road changed.
Right.
And then I discovered a lot more about myself as well, you know? So interesting.
Oh, very interesting for sure. I mean, and it sounds like you had some degree of financial acumen in choosing the type of engineer, being the highest paid, the electrical engineers, right? And obviously, you know, taking in the fundamentals of entrepreneurship, from the very basic fundamentals of the impressionable childhood years, right? One thing you mentioned about garage sales was it bonus sales or
jumbo sales?
Jumbo sales. Thank you. Jumbo sales. You know, those are practicing fundamentals of entrepreneurship. And when I was a kid, I had a lemonade stand, and I had a lawnmower. So I took my lawnmower from house to house, you know, and I think we've all had that entrepreneur spirit, you know, at a young age. And like you said, you know, you go to university, you graduate, and you get a job in your field of study. And then somehow you kind of felt not quite fulfilled, right? I mean, you go to all these wonderful, for relatively speaking, exotic countries, and still feeling unfulfilled. And like you said, asking the next, I mean, is this where I'm going to be the next 50 years? I mean, you know, is this where all that's going to happen? I mean, what's more to it? How do you find deeper purpose? What were some of the questions you were asking yourself, you know, other questions during that time of feeling stuck? You know, was it like, why am I feeling stuck? What more is there to it? You know, for me, those types of questions, I guess.
For me, it was actually, there was a, I didn't actually realize at the time. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but it was only when I started getting into personal development, self-development, going to seminars, going to basically big, you know, big seminars all around the world where there's, you know, Tony Robbins style, thousands of people there.
Yes.
And I realized, oh, I'm actually highly, highly anxious. And the anxiety came down to not having money, you know? So for me, the awareness came when I started asking my questions, like what's, you know, why is it that you know, you're not happy in a job? It doesn't matter which job, but like, what's the root cause? Like, why? I kept on asking myself that, like, why?
The whys, yes.
The whys, you know, I think it's out there, the five whys. I'm a master practitioner at neuro-linguistic programming as well. So when I started studying NLP, I had to do it on myself and go, okay, this is what I'm learning about myself. And I was like, oh, I've got, you know, a high level of anxiety when it comes to money.
Yes.
And I realized that one of the key reasons as to why I had the anxiety was because I only had one stream of income. I was so dependent on my job for everything. You know, for nights out when I was young, free and single.
right.
And you know, for mortgages and rent and, you know, food and all of these things. And I was just like, oh, you're telling me that my job that has to pay for all this?
Right.
Then I had that kind of reawakening, that rediscovery of actually, you know, learning about financial education, even though I get it, I understand a lot of people can be very triggered by money.
Yeah.
They're triggered by the lack of it more so than the lack or the abundance of it. So they can be triggered, and it's a very touchy subject for a lot of people. And it doesn't matter where in the world you are, Aubrey. I've been to over 40 countries in the world and a lot more to go. And I've lived in places like China and Japan, and I've been in America, working in America as well. And I've seen different people, different cultures, and it doesn't matter. Money, you know, will trigger a lot of people, and the lack of money will trigger it emotionally, you know, negatively as well. And when you begin to get aware of that, and when you begin to kind of discover that about yourself, oh, I can be so triggered by money and the rich, and oh, the rich are greedy and all this. Yes, some rich are greedy, of course. Right. And then some broke people are greedy too, you know, and it kind of, money amplifies who you are.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I realized when I wasn't financially educated, I never really gave to charity. Maybe the odd time, you know, maybe if I saw a poor person, you know, begging on the street, I'd go, oh, here you go. Here's, you know, 1 euro, 2 euro or something. But when I got more financially educated, I understood, oh, the more money that I can make, the more people that I can help. And every single month now, me and my wife, when we do our budget, we donate to charities, foundation, churches, whatever it is, we will donate. That's because we've earned more money. So money just amplifies more of who you are. So if you're a bad person, if you're like, I used to be a spender. I used to spend so much money on you know, stupid things, like, oh, absolutely ridiculous things like t-shirts. I've said this so many times before. I would spend like 500 euro a month on just branded t-shirts to impress people that didn't even like me when I was younger. And I was like, what am I doing? So, you know, I had to rediscover a lot about myself. I had to rediscover, you're just trying to people please, Carl. You know, all you're doing is trying to people please, and that's not serving you. And now when I look back and go, okay, cool. Now it's a different Carl. Now it's like Carl version 3 or even 4.0, because the last number of years I've been upgrading and stuff like that. So it's a really phenomenal journey that, you know, I have been on. And to the listeners out there, it's like, once you go on that journey, once you start opening up about, you know, financial education, or reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, or reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, or other books that are in that genre, it's a game changer for you. It's a big game changer.
Oh, it's got to be a game changer for sure, Carl. You know, and one of a couple things you touched on that I want the listeners to make sure they that this resonates with. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, we have to get ourselves to a point of transparency with ourselves, and being able to look in that mirror at the reflection we see in that mirror and ask ourselves the hard questions and own up to, you know, the areas in which we are accountable, to be self-accountable, right? That's very important. To overcome that, not to condemn, it's to construct, right?
Yes.
It's to build. And that's what you've done in making this transition from the people pleasing Carl, okay, to the financial independent and aware Carl.
Yeah.
You know, and that's huge. And that couldn't have been done without taking that hard look in the mirror. And I just want to thank you for sharing that insight with the listeners that, you know, you can reach a point of discovery and rediscovery where it's a complete game changer in the course of your life, but not without going through a sense of transparency, a sense of, you know, accountability. And that's a very intrinsic type of view, right? We have to be inner focused in order to bring that out. And I wanted to talk with you briefly about sort of, well, money, okay? And okay. with money, like you said, it's among the top taboo topics. You know, we yeah. have religion, we have politics, we have money, you know, and some parts of the world, sex, you know, yeah. taboo yeah. topics. And so money is one of them. And money, like you said, triggers an emotional response, you know, depending on whatever current situation that individual is in. I want to talk about money and limitations. And I don't mean limitations in terms of how much money or lack of money, okay? But the quote security of money that some people seem to have an impression of when it comes to what path to take in their life, a secure path, right? That yeah. that secure path that one may feel be that safety blanket or safety net to be financially secure and take care of your family. Now, as I'm sure you know, there is a common path that society dictates as that norm or safe path, yeah. which doesn't always align with our hopes and dreams as individuals, right?
Yes.
So can you talk about the role that money plays in having as us placing limitations on our dreams?
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the topic of money, and how can we overcome that as being a limitation so that we can pursue our dreams?
Yeah, and you know what? It's great that you're bringing this to the fore as well, because we all have self-limiting beliefs. You know, I remember one time, it was last year, the year before, I was talking to this guy and he was earning six figures. And at the time I wasn't, I was an employee at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just turned and I looked at him and I was like, in my head, I just said, if you can do it, I can too.
Yeah.
I just had a me too attitude. I just, that's right. important. Because yeah. I looked at him and it wasn't that, oh, I'm better than him or anything,
no, no.
Like, you know, or anything. Right. It was just like, well, hold on, you're doing it. So why can't I, you know? Yes. And then it changed. And then, you know, then I leveled up. And it was actually just having that little self-reflection, being like, you know what, Carl, you deserve better. You're helping people. You're giving more education out. You know, you're following the footsteps of Robert Kiyosaki and all these great mentors that you've had. So now, like, you're leveling up. And I think it's very important that, you know, to always reach back and help other people up as well, because I was in that situation where I was stuck. I didn't mm-hmm. know. I didn't mm-hmm. know about this entrepreneurial world and business investing. I just... Mm-hmm. did exactly what you said, this norm, this, you know, I went to school, I got good grades, I got a degree, and then I got a corporate job.
Right.
And then that was it. Like, that was, so what? Like, you know, I was like, well, what about my dreams? Like, I want to go to South America. I need money for that. I want to go to Africa. I need money for that. Mm-hmm. And it was just a case of, like, if I wanted more out of life, because... Mm-hmm. You know, when I say, actually, do you know what's going to be interesting? I'm going to say two things here that might make your listeners really, really reflect on themselves, is that mm-hmm. some of your listeners right now are closer to death than they are their birth.
Ooh, that's so true.
So when you hear that, you realize that this isn't a dress rehearsal. Life isn't a dress rehearsal. No. You got one shot at this. You know, Les Brown says this. We've been mentored by Les Brown, and, you know, he's an incredible person.
Yes.
You know, Les Brown says that if you're lying in your deathbed many years from now at 80, you don't want 90 or hopefully 110, 120, because we're all living a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, you know, regretting or have any regrets on your deathbed. You don't want to be worrying about other people's opinions. Because
that's right.
Opinions don't pay the bills.
No, it sure doesn't.
So, you know, when I was listening to all of this as well on the journey, you mm-hmm. build up that armor, that strong armor where you don't care about, if you're running a business, whether it's an online business, whether it's a traditional brick and mortar business, whatever it is, if you're doing what you're doing, you don't care about what anyone says because you're so focused on your goals that you don't care. Like, I had people ridiculing me on social media. I had people talk to my family members saying, is this guy Carl okay? And, you know, yada, yada, yada. I don't care because I know where I'm going. And those people that have said stuff about me, they're still at where they're at. Now, they're on their own journey, and credit to them. They may wake up, they may have a rediscovery themselves, and I hope they do, because then they'll realize, oh, wow, you know, that's what Carl was doing. Oh, now I get it. Now I understand as well.
Yes.
Obviously, having children as well, you know, I've two children now, and, you know, that for me has been a massive rediscovery as well about me as a person, but now me as a parent.
Which is different. My gosh. Yes. Yes.
So when it comes to the money side of things, it's like, right, what do I want to teach my kids about money? Do I want to teach my kids about money the same what I was taught or not taught? You know?
Yeah.
Or society just taught? No, I want to teach them the alternatives. I want to say, right, if you want to start earning money or, you know, generating money, then you need a passive income. You need to get some property. You need to get some gold and silver. You need to get some crypto. If you're interested in that, you need to get some stocks and shares. You need to learn the different asset classes. You need to invest in what's in alignment with you. At the moment, I'm a big tangible investor because I know about the World Economic Forum saying you'll own nothing and be happy. Whereas I own a lot of gold and silver and property as well, and tangible books as well. You know, so for me, it's like that. Yeah. That's what I'm teaching the kids. I'm teaching them also. You know, I'm you know, we're always growing and learning, and we're always expanding. And digitalization is a big thing for a lot of people. It's making a lot of money for a lot of people. So, you know, you have to go down the road of learning as well. Once you learn, you drop the L and then you earn.
That's right. That's 100%, my man. I mean, you do the learning and put in the time to do the learning, and then you apply that learning to drop that L and do the earning. So well said, Carl. I love how that comes together, and I want the listeners to learn and understand this. Okay, you heard it right here. Carl Davison said, you know, you do the learning, get the learning, and understand how financial assets work, and then drop that L and start the earning. Very well said. Very well said. So, Carl, let's uncrack and unpack these life-altering books that you read while in Japan. If you could just give us a brief description on the books, and then talk to us about that pivot that the books had such an impact on your direction.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny that, you know, I'm big into books now, because growing up, from the age of up to 20, I read about 2.5 books. In Ireland, we've got these exams, these state exams called the junior certificate, and the leaving certificate. It's very similar to the SATs in America. So, I read what's the guy's name? Oh, he's gone out of my head. That famous English writer. Oh my God, he's gone from my head. Oh, what is it? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting this. But anyway, look, it will come to me.
Yeah, it'll come.
Yeah. I read those two books, and oh my God, that's really annoying now. I need to find out.
I know what you mean.
So those books, and then I read another book, Bear Grylls, who's a famous how would you say, adventurer and
survivalist.
So that's I read half of that actually when I was working in America back in 2011 over in Portland, Oregon. And I never really read books, but then my she actually wasn't even my girlfriend at the time. I was just chatting with her online and that sort of stuff. She said, hey, why not listened to these two books. And I said, okay, I'll listen. I'll give them a shot. Why not? One of them was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Yep. And the other book was Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yep.
And I listened to Dale first. And that, for me, was a kind of like a mind shift in terms of self-discovery and kind of learning about myself.
Yes.
I remember walking down a street in Japan, a really busy street, and I was crossing the road and it stopped me dead in my tracks. I literally just stopped and I was like, oh my God. And what it said was, do you control your emotions or do your emotions control you? Mm. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, my emotions are controlling me. I'm not in control of my emotions. That's why I was such a, you know, maybe to some people, that's why I was such a bit of a, you know, an arsehole.
Right.
People didn't like me because I didn't really, excuse my language there, but, you know, sometimes I didn't know myself.
Yeah.
I let my emotions control me, but now it flips around and now you're in control of your emotions. And that was pivotal. You know, that was a game changer. And on the financial education side, it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I didn't even realize that, oh, Carl, you can be an investor. You can invest in stocks, crypto. Well, at the time, crypto wasn't a big thing back then, but gold, silver, you know, property, you can do that. You just learn, you know, investing is not risky. It's just the lack of financial education of the investor that makes investment risky. So, you know, it's very important to, you know, as I said before, go down that learning path. And people that, you know, in America, I get it. You know, you guys pay a lot for university and stuff like that. In Ireland, we don't pay that much. It's actually very, very little. But it's going up and up and up every single year.
Sure.
But most people don't invest in their formal education. Or sorry, most people don't invest in education once their formal education is complete. And once you start making an investment in yourself, whether it's going on courses, whether it's going on going to seminars, going to webinars, getting a mentor, getting a coach, your life just changes. You go on a totally different road, totally different journey, and it's, you know better, so you do better. When you do better, you have better. And when you have better, you're in a better place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's logic.
It's completely logic because it's all following in that domino effect, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That is, that is absolutely extraordinary in those two books, right?
Yeah.
To me, the irony with Dale Carnegie's book is the over the years, and this book has been around for a long time. Over the years, that book has become, and his courses have become a business and corporate industry standard for developing young executives and even tenured executives, you know, in the corporate world. But at the same time, that book has also spawned a lot of entrepreneurial dreamers.
Yes.
You know, so I think that right there is extraordinary, you know, so it applies to both, whether you're in corporate America or corporate, whatever country you're in, fill in the blank, or you are in business for yourself. These are anecdotes and skills and methods and tools that are highly beneficial in your own growth and development. My background is talent development. And so, you know, there has to be a degree of investing that we must do within ourselves. One thing we say in industry is we're lifelong learners. You know, I mean, we don't just say, okay, I'm going to retire from learning. It was nice hanging out with everyone here, you know, you're still learning, you know? So, I want to thank you for sharing, that insight for sure, Carl. Want to talk about dreams. Okay. Nice. With dreams, and we've already, what I'm trying to do here, Carl, is I'm trying to bookend these things. Okay. We talked about the, financial limitations that we may put on ourselves because of fear of not having money.
Yeah.
Because of fear of not being able to support ourselves or our families if we didn't go the traditional route. Yeah. Now, on the other side of the bookend, want to talk about our dreams. There may be alignment, there may not be alignment, but give us some insight on the role that dreams have played in your professional journey. And has there been any benefits to the outcome in your personal life?
I think that's a great question, Aubrey. And I think, to be honest, I never really understood the concept of the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Like I knew about it, but I didn't have the word for it, you know. Yeah. And the way my brain works is that it needs to have a word, or it needs to have a name or something, a number or something, so that gets stored into my brain. Like, okay, but I understood the law of attraction, and I didn't fully understand it. Like, I didn't put it into practice. Like, growing up, I would think, oh, okay, I want to do this, and then it would happen. But I never said, oh, that was the law of attraction or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, when it came to dreams and dreaming and allowing myself to dream, that was pushed down. That was, you know, that didn't happen until I started going on this road of discovery and then rediscovery, because I was in that hamster wheel. I was just like, okay, you know, this is the same, different day, you know, like just going about, oh, I'd love to go there, I'd love to go here. So it was never a case of, you know, let's create a plan and let's, you know, action that plan and dream about it. I remember I went to many, many personal development events, but there was one event called Journey. It was literally called Journey. And that event, you know, again, every event changes your life because your context expands.
And
the new content. And for me, it was, you know, there was times where you would kind of like, you know, close your eyes and imagine that, you know, you had everything you wanted, and just having that space to allow to yourself to dream is so important. Meditation is so important. I'm a big believer in God, and I believe that he's helping me go through that journey and guiding me through that journey, and I have full faith in that. And that was a torn relationship in the last number of years as well. You know, it's only in the last couple of years that I've kind of rekindled that. And for me, you know, to be able to put my faith and into God, and just, you know, it's taken a lot off my shoulders as well.
Right.
So also, you know, with the law of attraction, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, that's God working and stuff like that. Yeah, okay, great, you know, but some people might not believe in God. That's totally fine. And they believe in the law of attraction, and that's great, you know. So make it work for you, whatever it is. But also spend that time to dream. Spend that time to be able to, you know, take a little bit of time out from your hectic life and go, actually, do you know what? What? Like, I've got one life here. What do I want out of this life? Laughing is a big thing for me. I love to laugh, and I watch comedy quite a lot. And, you know, because I think your life is so short that you don't want to spend your time. Like, I've been anxious up to a point where I've had these kind of like thoughts of, you know, bad thoughts, negative thoughts and stuff like that. And that's just a waste of time. That's not practical. And for me, it's like, I want to be laughing. I want to be in a state of joy and content and happiness. Now, that's fleeting. That's, you know, that comes and goes in waves, peaks and troughs.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It needs to be in peaks and troughs, because if it was a flat line, then I'd be dead. You know?
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, so you need, like, you know, you need to be in that state. And when you're in that state, your brain acts different. Your brain relaxes. Your brain is able to comprehend things that may you need to get out of the logic brain as well, you know. Yes. And that can be hard, you know, and some for some people, they need to get out of the emotional brain and go into the logic. And that back and forth is hard. It's like a game of ping pong. It's like who wins? And it's like, it's not about winning. It's just about, you know, understanding and being aware that you have those different sides to you and different parts of your brain, and to tap into both as well. So, you know, dreaming for me, like, you know, I see myself already wherever I want to be. Like, if, you know, we're relocating to Portugal, and in my head right now, I'm already there. I'm already sitting on my balcony. I'm already, you know, sitting, you know, looking at my vistas, all my views. I'm already like taking the kids to, you know, school. I'm already playing that in my mind. You know, I remember recently I bought a car, and it was our second car, and it was a 7-seater car, just, you know, because our family's getting bigger. So I was like, right, let's. But I started saying, right, no, this, I want an automatic. I want an automatic. I want a nice 7-seater car. I want it in black. And it just came to me, and I was like, no, boom, 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 boom. And that was it. Like, so, you know, you use your law of attraction, or, you know, you pray or meditate to your advantage. And then, you know, you take that time to dream as well, to be like, right, well, if I always ask my clients this as well, Aubrey, if you had all the time in the world and all the money in the world, what would you be doing? And that's really good, because it gives them a little bit of time and space to go, what would I be doing? What would I do?
right.
I'd be traveling. And that's why I travel so much. Like, you know, that's why I love to travel, because I don't let it stop me. I'm like, right, you know, we were in Scotland there a couple of weeks ago. We're going to Portugal next year. We've already booked Paris, France for Disneyland. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, I don't let these things stop me, you know, and I think that's important for the listeners, is take that time to dream, and, you know, don't be afraid to tell people your dreams. Don't be afraid to share them. Just be careful who you share your dreams to, that they don't, you know, kill your dreams and, you know, smash your dreams up. That's, you got to be a good judge of character for that.
Yes, you do. It takes some degree of discernment, right? You don't want those you're telling your dreams to feel like they must need to sabotage. Yes. You know, I mean, these should be people within your circles who are happy for you, who support you, who are excited for you, you know, in your dreams and pursuing your dreams, you know. And that's how we uplift others, right? There's a saying that a rising tide raises all ships, right? Yeah. And so, you know, to have that level of compassion and empathy and support and excitement for your fellow human, you know, it should exist. Unfortunately, you know, the reality in this world is there are some people who have envy and jealousy, and they want to sabotage, because they take joy in other people's misery, which I can't understand why or how a person could be like that. It may be a bit historical where they came from, their journey, but again, that is another discussion for another episode. I do truly appreciate your advice on dreams, not to feel limited by our dreams and what we can do, what our wishes are for ourselves, and you know, when we dream, the sky's the limit, right? The sky is completely the limit, and you know, we shouldn't shortchange ourselves. So I really want to thank you for sharing that insight, for sure, Carl. Let's see, one or two last questions I wanted to ask you. I wanted to get your thoughts on decision making. Okay. There's you are a very passionate person. Who truly enjoys life. You talk about travel. You talk about the importance of making the best of this one chance we get on this earth, right? The travel and family, togetherness, dreamy. Okay. I mean, all of these are things that are part of a personal investment that we should have, you know, in ourselves. As a passionate person, yet a very educated professional, there are some decisions that we may reach in our journey that may require some deeper thinking, maybe some consulting, maybe some, you know, prayer and deeper research.
Yeah.
And then there are some decisions that I'm not sure how frequent they come, but they are it's now or never type thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have to make a move. We have to act. We have to act now, you know.
Yeah.
And some of those, if you let your emotions control you, then there could be an unfortunate decision on a life event that may take you in a different direction. I'd love for you to share with the listeners, Carl, your insights on what type of discernment is needed when it comes to being facing a decision.
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you tell if that decision is I must research and fact find and discover a little more before deciding, or I better act now and decide now and figure out the rest later? How do you discern between the two?
I think it's, making the decision, it's the start that stops most people. Mm-hmm. So one of my mentors that I listen to on a frequent basis, Eric Thomas, I don't know if you know Eric, you probably do, yeah. He drilled it into me, just decide and the universe will get out of your way, you know.
And
for me, it was a case of, you know, whether it was financially a financial decision, you have to make a decision. And where you are now in life, if you're stuck in life right now, it's because you have made, it's a collection of your decisions for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 odd years. That's where you are now, because every decision that you made has brought you to this point now. If you don't like the point that you're in, you have to make wiser, better decisions. How do you know if a decision is good or not? Well, time will tell. But if you're stuck now, you realize that the thinking to make that decision brought you here, then that thinking is not the best thinking. You have to learn. You have to educate yourself in everything and in where you're kind of stuck in life. I was stuck in finances and money. So that's why I was like, okay, I need to be open. I need to be open to make a decision. Yes. I need to be able to say, okay, you know, this is coming at me. An investment opportunity is coming at me. What do? I need to make a decision. Now, when it comes to investing and finances and stuff like that, I'm looking at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me to make a decision, I'm looking at the numbers. If the numbers check out, as in if the numbers are good, great. I'm going to make a decision. And I'm going to say, right, let's invest. However, because, and here's a tip for the listeners and the viewers, my budget is my Bible. I do not deviate from the budget. No matter how nice there's a chocolate bar in the shop or there's ice cream or something like that, you know, it's waiting until we do our budget and then we factor it in. So someone comes at me with like, oh, hey, here's a crypto investment, blah, 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 or here's whatever. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not doing anything until we redo our budget and then that investment goes into the budget. Okay, cool. You know?
Yes.
Budgeting is the Bible. It's the foundation. And I think there's a quote in the Bible there, you know, a house built on sand, you know, is you know, it's not good. Whereas a house built on rocks, you know, and that's where you want your financial level is. You want to be working off your budget and you want to be working off it on a strong budget. So when it comes to the decisions, you know, making those decisions, depends on your budget. And that, you can have a big budget, you can have a lot of money in the budget, you can have very little, it doesn't matter. But when I make a decision, particularly a financial decision, it's, do I go back to my budget? Is the money allocated there? No, it's not. Okay, then it waits. And then I'll see if the investment is actually worth doing, you know, because there's a quote, I think it's actually in Dale Carnegie's book as well, where Abraham Lincoln, he wrote a letter and he wanted to send it to somebody. And he was really annoyed at the time when he wrote the letter, but he put it in the drawer and he said, right, I'm going to wait until tomorrow to see if I really want to send that. I use that analogy when it comes to investing.
Yes.
As well. It's like, okay, do I really want this investment?
Money,
but at the same time, you know, like, it's great that it makes me money, but how much time do I need to put into it? How much
effort,
you know? So it's, you have to weigh up all of those other decisions as well. So a lot of people struggle with decisions. Like, you go to a restaurant, you have a look, right? If you're going to your restaurant with your partner, right, just sit down there and maybe just have a little listen into, like, other people's conversations. What are you having for dinner? What are you having for dinner? Oh, I don't know. It's food. You know, you just make a decision. So it's really hard for people to make a decision. Now, when it comes to finances, it's even harder because they don't know. And if they make the wrong decision, they, in quotes, lose money. You never lose money. It just goes to somebody else who's more educated. so it's a case of, you know, like, don't be fearful either. Don't be scared about losing money. Don't be, like, I've lost thousands in bad decision making when it came to investments. Do I care? Right. No, because people lose money all the time, and it's about gaining that learning and gaining that knowledge. And it's like, right, cool, six figures, you know, on to seven figures. That sort of stuff. So, you know, it making a decision is tough, but you have to want it. You have to really, really want it. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle, because they're comfortable. They don't want to get out of the comfort zone. They're happy. They sit back and let life pass them by. And that's it, Aubrey. You know, it's you know, getting out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you do have to want it, you know, and there has to be some drive and passion behind it. And it's really interesting, Carl, because it truly sounds like you have to strike a balance, right? You have to balance between really, really wanting it, but at the same time, pull the reins back and not make a hair trigger decision on something that requires a little more work, a little more research, a little more discovery, you know, like financial decisions, you know, figuring something into your budget instead of just purchasing it or whatever that may be, right? So and Carla, I appreciate you sharing that insight. I mean, that's tremendous insight, and using the financial example as how you make that discernment, to me, is crystal clear, and it will resonate with the listeners, I have no doubt. And I was particularly interested in your thoughts on that, because every question that I ask my guests, you know, we try to cover what I have on this digital course called the Rediscovery Roadmap. In the Rediscovery Roadmap, there are four cornerstones to personal growth, and that is self-awareness, gratitude, humility, and service to others. And we have touched on each of those here, and I truly, truly appreciate your insights and giving us a glimpse into your journey and what you've learned about yourself and what you've learned about, you know, just the just seizing life in general. So Carl, how can the listeners follow and connect with you and be a part of your community?
Yeah, so like we're on LinkedIn. You can add me and connect with me on LinkedIn, Carl Davidson. Mm-hmm. Follow us on LinkedIn as well with the Cashflow Club Ireland. We're on Facebook. We have a private group there. We've been running for the last number of years, like 8 years, I believe. It's mm-hmm. been recognized by Robert Kiyosaki as well. We're on Instagram as well, Cashflow Club Ireland, and, you know, Carl Davidson as well. So We're all over it, you know, we're all over social media as well. You can catch me on YouTube and you can follow my wife as well, Brona Lyons on YouTube as well.
Wonderful.
And like, you know, you'll see a little bit of our kind of family vlogs and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So yeah, we're all around and it's amazing. It's amazing opportunity to be on the road to rediscovery as well, Aubrey. So thank you so much for having me on.
Oh no, we reciprocate. I want to thank you for coming on, and we were thrilled to have you, Carl. Got to bring you back on to the show sometime awesome, in the near future. Let's stay connected. Love to hear a little bit more about how you and your wife met. Love to hear more about just some other insights when it comes to financial independence. Carl Davidson, everyone, thank you so much, sir. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. We're never alone. We're never alone. Hope is always around the corner, and I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you love, someone you know, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. And you know, I always say this, but when it really comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. We're all just roadies on this journey of life. And it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.